Today on Movie Wallahs, we talk about downsizing and Star Wars The Last Jedi. It's time for Movie Wallahs. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yes, you as well.
Movie Wallahs is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings to you both, and to you again, Yazdi, in Mumbai.
The land of
horns,
as you termed it.
Yes, the land of horns and the land of incessant beeping from cars, where cars just beep to let everyone else know that they exist.
I love it. I think we should do like Yazdi cam on the street. That would be interesting.
That would be fun. I can ask people about movies.
Well, at the very least, if you could Instagram a picture of the outside for us on
that
our
would be
Instagram
lovely,
account,
yeah.
We'd love to kind of get a sense for where you are.
And whether it's one car making a lot of horn or many cars making a few horns.
Do you drive there?
I learned driving here in India, but I dare not drive now. I've lost the tooth and the claw to do it.
I was going to say, would you have as much fun horning over there as everyone else seems to be?
Oh, that would be fun, yes.
Yeah, that would be super fun.
Oh, no,
that would be super fun. I just get freaked out by cars getting, you know, just too close to you.
Close.
I just freeze, yeah. I'm like, that's too close to
I worry that my butt cheeks would get tired from being clenched.
yes, mine too, I think. So, the poor SoundCloud quality, of course, is my fault. So, to all our listeners, you know, if you can't hear us properly, it's because we are literally recording halfway across the world.
We would rather have you with bad sound than no Yazdi at all.
Oh, thank you.
On to downsizing.
I'd say spoken yes. by the person who's not editing this podcast.
Yes. Spoken by the person who just turns up and talks.
All right. So we do want to get through these next two films. I'm sure we'll have a lot to say about Star Wars. So let's move on to downsizing and leave Star Wars as kind of our grand finale. Downsizing is the latest from writer-director Alexander Payne, who we know from movies such as Sideways. He's Cedar Rapids. His CV is extensive here. We know and we're kind of somewhat fans of him here. Nebraska, I think, Rashmi,
I loved
that from a year or two ago, the Bruce Dern.
Oh, yeah, Descendants,
vehicle.
Election, Sideways.
So this is obviously comes with some expectations here. Downsizing has been quite heavily promoted. It has Matt Damon, Kristen Wiig, Christoph Waltz, Jason Sudeikis, Neil Patrick Harris, Laura Dern among the kind of star leads. And the premise is one that, at least from the trailers, is a fascinating one. I'll read the Rotten Tomatoes synopsis here, which is when scientists discover how to shrink humans to 5 inches tall as a solution to overpopulation, Paul and his wife, Audrey, decide to abandon their stressed lives in order to move to a new, small, downsized community, a choice that triggers life-changing adventures. The premise of this movie, as depicted by the trailers, has me as the kind of resident sci-fi buff amongst us super excited. I love the environmental message I think the movie is planning to portray. So did it live up to the hype and the expectations?
So what a phenomenal concept for a movie that ends up being so poorly executed in terms of its storytelling. This just isn't what it said on the box. And so for me, it's a thumbs down disappointment.
Yeah, I think every great filmmaker is allowed one mistake. And this will be Alexander Payne's mistake. It's a fascinating concept. It's not too dissimilar with the problems I think we all talked about that the movie Suburbicon ran into earlier this year, in terms of what the movie intends and what actually shows up on screen. I mean, I'm a big fan of Alexander Payne. He writes with so much empathy. You know, he started with Citizen Ruth. He did Election. We forgot about Schmidt, Descendants. I love that movie. It breaks me down every time I watch it. And this is such an unusual misstep for him. And I can see how he landed up here. And just bear with me because I'm going to ramble for a minute. But I think there are two separate pieces to the story. And I think Alexander Payne should have rightfully made two separate movies. One is this amazing, you know, sci-fi piece that you said about, you know, what if we could miniaturize ourselves and it would be environmentally so wonderful because we wouldn't be using the world's resources and you could have a whole colony of little people. And, you know, there's a lot of humor there in terms of how it comes to be, what that would entail, what the emotional toll would be, how would you say goodbye to all your friends. All this part, which is the first half of the movie, which is kind of a fun, cheeky, again, not exactly in Alexander Payne's wheelhouse. I wouldn't think of him as taking up a big sci-fi thing like that, but he kind of jumps into it and kind of sees it through. And then the movie makes this absolute about turn. And then it becomes this very fervent, you know, social consciousness kind of movie about how we kind of leave behind, you know, the lesser amongst us and how the poor and the disenfranchised are left behind in the progress that the world is seeing. And I can't think of two more, you know, different themes to try and mash together in a movie. And there is a very definite point at which it stops being about miniaturization and it becomes this very, you know, self-righteous, how dare we treat the lesser amongst us kind of movie. And it ends with that movie. So it just seems like, wait a minute, what happened? You know, you kind of halfway through the movie, we're talking about making people literally abandon that. And now you've become, you know, this social unrest leader kind of thing. So it completely jars, even more so than Suburbicon, and the whole thing doesn't come together. So I have respect for it, but even the social part I thought was too self-righteous for me. It just felt too much to me. So it's a misstep, but I forgive. Not that I'm in a position to forgive anyone, but I'm looking forward to his next movie.
So yes, he stole my notes verbatim. I had exactly the same words. That you have, Yazdi. I think you and I are on exactly the same page. I mean, I call it tonally inconsistent, and I think it changes from being a funny comedy to this darkly political view of life through this socioeconomic immigration lens, and neither story then works well. And I kind of think my hypothesis is that really, the story in The Shrinking was that was the gimmick. And I think that should have been a short story. And that would have been very, very satisfying. Because beyond being shrunk and the tropes that go with that, there's humor in that. But beyond that, what's the story? We're still the same people, right? It doesn't inherently change humanity in the way that we behave. And I think that's what he's trying to say. But it doesn't necessarily match up with the direction that it went. And just the way that the female protagonist is portrayed, who's actually nominated for a Golden Globe, it's shockingly bad. It's so politically incorrect and just so shockingly bad that I was cringing, like literally cringing and wishing for this movie to end.
Oh, that's too bad. I was excited about this one.
Yeah, let's talk about that character. I think that character... So first of all, with what you said, Rashmi, I hope that wasn't the case, but it's probably likely that it was the case that in order to sell the socially conscious movie that he wanted to make, it was sold as this, how fun to miniaturize, you know, to the studios to get the funding, because that's, you know, that's a lot of CGI involved there. And it's damn good CGI. I mean,
it's
I can't
great.
Fault it.
Production is amazing.
Yeah, and I think there is a way to, if he had just kept the downsizing part, the shrinking part movie, I think that part could have continued because I don't want to indulge in any spoilers, but there's a very good piece about what happens to the Kristen Wiig versus the Matt Damon characters post their decision to miniaturize themselves. I think that could have led out to a full movie like that.
Yeah.
But then the second part where he is kind of getting into this whole immigration, you know,
socioeconomics,
how we treat the people who are, you know, there's this whole how we treat the poor in the world, that kind of thing. And for that piece of the story, he is chosen as the heart of that, this one character. And I can see how well-intentioned he is, because he makes this character, you know, I just read recently in one of the articles that the last remaining discrimination right now is discrimination based on accent, where we look down upon people who carry a particular kind of accent right. as being lesser than us, or somebody who cannot speak English very well, we treat them as lesser. And I know that's where Alexander Payne is going, but that character comes out so misjudged, and that accent seems to us so over the top that, like you, I was cringing every time I saw that. And I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? This sounds like a caricature. It sounds like you are doing exactly what the movie is not trying to do, is judging that character. So it's good intentions, but I think it kind of really fell flat on his face with that. And I'm shocked that, like you, that Hong Chau, who plays that character, is nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
And she plays it well. I mean, she reads the words on the page very well. But then to not only burden this character with a bad accent and the socioeconomic issues that this character faces, but then to give them a peg leg. It was just terrible. It's terrible. Yeah. And then what happens as a result of that peg leg is what kind of drives the story forward. I mean, it's embarrassing. I mean, I can wind this one up because I'm cringing even like thinking about it. Like, I want to kind of cover my head with a blanket because I'm so embarrassed for him. This is 2017's biggest disappointment of the year. I'm downsizing my score on this one. I was going to give it a 4. I'm going to give it 3.
Oh, please no.
And that 3 goes to the first half of the movie only.
Yeah, the first half of the movie would have been a 7 for me. But the second half is so misjudged at every level. I mean, it's even visually misjudged. It just felt like a video game to me at some point. And to exactly to burden this poor character with not just one, you know, she had a bad accent, but like a physical disability, and then make her the heart of the movie. That's too much to ask. It just doesn't work. A rare, rare misstep for Alexander Payne. I'm going to give it generously a 5 out of 10. And I hope he gets back to making smaller, you know, more humanistic movies, which really is his forte.
Ouch.
Joe, I'd be interested for you to watch it, actually, just to get a sense of whether you see something different that we don't.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's like watching your favorite uncle make a fool in front of other people. It's so misjudged. Yeah. It's like, I can't watch this. It's like, stop, please.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And Yasti, you and I have both been to those Indian weddings where, you know, your uncle dances with a bottle of whiskey on his head.
Go,
after
uncle.
He's consumed it, you know.
Go, uncle, is what I say.
complete with gold chain and, you know, shirt open to hairy chest.
I think if you spoke to some of our nieces, they'd probably see me as that uncle these days.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed for them.
All right, move along then. Let's talk about Star Wars, which we're kind of late to the game on here. I think this movie really needs no review or hype.
But yes, you did a review with the wonderful Beth Arcomando on PBS on our behalf.
Yes, thank you. Yes, so we kind
and of... I desperately tried not to listen so that I wouldn't know your opinion. So I need to go back and listen to that now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we did talk about Star Wars in it.
So, I guess who's introing
me.
Star Wars? Go ahead, Rashmi.
Okay, so Star Wars: The Last Jedi, very anticipated movie, or Episode 8. So Rey develops her newly discovered abilities with the guidance of Luke Skywalker, who is unsettled by the strength of her powers. Meanwhile, the Resistance prepares to battle with the First Order. So this is directed by Rian Johnson, and written based obviously on the George Lucas stories. And it stars many of the characters from the first movie of this segment. Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Mark Hamill. We have Oscar Isaac here. We have the wonderful now past Carrie Fisher, Adam Driver. Who else is in here? Andy Serkis is in here. Lupita Nyong'o, Domhnall Gleeson. Laura Dern is in here. Benicio del Toro. Yeah, the list goes on and on and on. And of course, Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill. So, Joe, why don't you start us off on The Last Jedi? Because I know you were looking forward to this one.
I kind of look forward to every Star Wars movie. And I think The Force Awakens from a couple of years ago with J.J. Abrams at the helm was initially kind of a disappointment. I think it felt so so reminiscent of the beats of A New Hope that, you know, I felt that it was, you know, an homage, but it was not necessarily its own thing. I've since rewatched it and enjoyed it a lot more, got a lot more out of it. Huge fan of Rian Johnson. You didn't mention Rashmi. He is the director of this movie. I've liked a couple of his movies, in particular Looper from a few years ago.
And Brick.
Brick, I struggled with a little bit just because it's film noir and that's not necessarily my favorite type of thing. But definitely a director that I've been interested in. And I was fascinated with him being the choice here for such a big, big, big franchise such as the Disney Star Wars universe. So what do I think of this one?
And he came in after someone else had been fired, no?
Is that right?
I don't think Rian Johnson was the first choice for this for this movie to be, yeah.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, he has since been offered an expansion of the entire Star Wars movie. So I think the next one, Episode 9, will be back to J.J. Abrams. But Disney's doing this thing where they, you know, do an on-year and an off-year. And so, you know, we had last year's Rogue One, which was kind of a set in the Star Wars universe, but not necessarily linear part of this story. And then next year, I think we're going to get the Han Solo movie that everyone's...
called Solo by Ron Howard.
Buzzing about that one. So, what do you think of this one? Again, I think, much like The Force Awakens, there's so much to take in. It kind of overwhelms initially. And I kind of feel like I do need to watch it again. I think there were some very interesting story choices here, and I think the fans have been debating about this. I know of a couple of people who've reacted quite badly to some of the story choices made, and I'm not going to get into them because I think they are potentially spoilers, but they in particular talk about the nature of the Force, and it undoes a couple of historical misconceptions, perhaps they were, you know, regarding the Force and the whole Jedi faith and order. But overall, I mean, it's a fantastic piece of popcorn entertainment here. It's, you know, I said to the press rep who was looking for comment, you know, that was a good dose of Star Wars. You know, that's a nice dollop of more Star Wars for those. I think the fans will get a lot out of it. I think we're going to ponder how the story goes from here, because I think, you know, they've set things up a little confusingly, I think, for the finale. But nonetheless, you know, a good helping of Star Wars fun.
Yes, Dee.
Yeah, there's so much to say, you know, about any new Star Wars movie, and particularly this one. But I'll just start off by saying that I found this movie very, very deeply satisfying. Like you, Joe, I came out and felt like I'd had a nice, like I'd gone and expected to eat lobster, and I had a very nice lobster, and I was content. So I came out more than happy. I mean, I think that Akamanda mentioned that she always watches these Star Wars movies with a lot of trepidation, particularly because we have been you know, we've been burnt with the first three prequels, which are horrible, episodes 1, 2, and 3. So you almost need to watch, you know, I want to watch this movie again, because I watched it in a kind of let me judge this mode the whole time. Now that I've known how it plays out, I would want to go back and watch it and see how it is. But I think at every level, from the storytelling to the character arcs to, you know, seeing Carrie Fisher for the last time to the new characters, it's a very handsome, well thought of, well integrated piece of work. And for the life of me, like you, I cannot understand the backlash to this movie. There's been so much backlash to it. And maybe the problem is that before it opened, there was so much hype and some people said this was the best Star Wars movie ever and people were expecting too much. And it's just a question of expectations, but I don't understand the backlash to it at all. There's nothing to hate about this. Rashmi?
So I'm not a hater, but I'm glad this is all over now because like Beth, I think I was worried that until it comes out and you actually watch it, if you are a Star Wars fan and it's dear to your heart, then you're going to be anxious about how much it may or may not suck. Fortunately, this doesn't suck. I think this was great, but let's face it, this is a completely different enterprise now. I think it sits under the Star Wars banner, and I think R2-D2 and C-3PO are rolled out, as are Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia. But we're moving on. This isn't the Star Wars that we knew in the 80s, even though it's fairly true to the universe. I think the frustrating thing for me was that this was an exercise in total frustration because it raises way more questions than it sets out to answer. And so, in fact, it doesn't answer any of the questions that were raised in the first one, and then it raises even more. And again, you know, I'm disappointed by that because then it's just kind of scene after scene after scene with question, 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 and zero resolution. And I think what's happening is, my personal feeling is, this one is full of red herrings. This one is full of red herrings, and it wants to throw us off the scent of maybe what some of us are thinking.
I think it's a classic middle movie, right? I mean, it's clearly setting up for a trilogy, and maybe an expansion of the trilogy. So
yeah, but Empire Strikes Back was one of the best movies, I would say, ever. And that's a middle movie, but it's one of the best movies ever.
Right, but I think, yeah, I agree with that. I think maybe where some people's reaction is coming from is that because The Force Awakens was very much a retread of A New Hope, the trailers for this looked like this movie was going to be a recut of The Empire Strikes Back. I mean, you have the ice planet stuff and, you know, a lot of the moments, and we were just waiting for that Luke, I am your father moment with some of our new characters played in. And I think there was speculation as to
who is Rey?
Who is Rey and how all of the characters kind of fit together and how they're related. So, you know, this movie addresses much of that in a way that I think is dramatic. You know, there are definitely those, wow, I didn't think that was going to play out the way that it did. But I think that in some ways then it dashes the expectations and the hopes of some of the fans who were trying to put the puzzle together based on what they got from Force Awakens and didn't get that. Oh, I knew it.
Right, there doesn't seem to be continuation, although it is a continuing story. We've just got loads and loads and loads more information without being able to have the chance to process or put anything together now. And so it's almost like taking a 1,000-piece puzzle and throwing it up in the air, and now we got another 1,000 pieces that we just added to the mix without even being able to shape the border.
Yeah, I think, see, the problem is that the original characters from episodes 4, 5, and 6 are either very old now or they have passed on. So it's very difficult to continue that story. So I think very deliberately with The Force Awakens, they kind of created the second generation, right? In many ways, you know, these three characters, Poe, Rey, and
Kylo Ren.
Right. And they are, you know, Luke, Han, and Leia. So it's kind of, you know, a second generation that they've created. And I think that was a problem a lot of people had with The Force Awakens, which is that it seemed too much samey as the original Star Wars. But I think taking those characters, it has to now build a full story. And I actually was surprised at how much resolution there was. By the end of The Last Jedi, you definitely have a sense for where the power rests between the dark force and, you know, and the force which is not dark. So I realize that there's a lot of things which are without resolution, but I think it might be deliberate because they want people to come back to the next one where things might grow. And I, you know, instead of this being the same silly kind of love triangle, which was the basis of at least the second and the third part of the original trilogy, I like the dynamics that they're building again between, you know, those three characters. And I like that the heart of this movie is a connection between two characters that you wouldn't have normally thought, which in this one is between Kylo Ren and Rey. And I really loved that piece where they are separated by distance, but they have this fight of will. And there's so much speculation about Rey's lineage. I mean, is she herself, you know, within the line of Luke and Leia? And it kind of answers that question a little bit, but it doesn't fill into your expectation. You know, it would have been great to say, you know, Rey is, you know, Han Solo's child, or she was, you know, Leia's child, or whatever. And it says, and maybe I'm going into spoiler territory, but
well,
I really like that.
It just starts to sound like Jerry Springer episode.
Really?
Well,
Be careful.
I really did like the Kylo Ren and Rey interaction.
I did too. I'm making it sound like I didn't like it. I just feel as if more questions than answers.
Yeah, I guess we need to kind of wrap this up quickly. But I think the other piece that has been controversial is what became and what is the Luke Skywalker character in this movie. Because I think that definitely is very different expectations. I want to be careful here with respect to spoilers, but you know, the name of the movie alludes to certain things. I think the ending of The Force Awakens alludes to certain things. And, you know, Mark Hamill himself, you know, before the movie came out, had been very vocal about his disagreements, major, major, deep disagreements with Rian Johnson, the director, about the character of Luke Skywalker. In fact, Mark Hamill went on the record and said, I disagreed with every major decision that they made about Luke Skywalker's character, and I can see why fans of the original movies might feel that way. So again, I think that the controversy here comes from the love that is, you know, created by the fans of this universe, and you know, Rian Johnson's taken some brave steps here. I think he really has taken the movie in a direction that was potentially alienating to fans, and I think it has had that reaction. But the rest of us got, you know, a movie that played upon our expectations, turned them around, and gave us something that was genuinely surprising. I mean, I think the revelations in the movie were good.
Yeah, I guess I'm the outlier here between the three of us. Sorry, Esty, go ahead.
No, I'm thinking about, they could have made a very conventional movie where, you know, Luke Skywalker continues to be Luke. And again, I don't want to give away anything. And I, you know, where Finn behaves like Finn and Rey behaves like Rey. And I think that would have been very much satisfying, and they could have given away more. They could have answered more questions. But I think, as frustrating as this might be, I think this actually creates more intrigue. And it kind of is, like you said, Joe, I mean, he's taken a lot of liberties with these characters in terms of how their fate is going. And it's kind of brave, and it may actually push them in a corner now,
yes,
by way of the steps taken in this particular movie. But I like that, you know, that there was a surprise. I mean, I watched this whole movie really not knowing where Luke was morally, you know, through the whole movie, where Luke Skywalker was. And I kind of enjoyed that. And I love that, you know, Finn and, you know, Finn and Rey in the first movie, there was a suggestion that there would be a romantic involvement. And this movie rightly completely avoids any interaction between the two of them. You know, they're not even physically in the same space until the last half an hour of the movie. And they brought in this new character who was really, you know, she's Asian and she's like gung-ho and she's learning her bearings. So I love how there is diversity. You know, The Force Awakens had this, and now it kind of carries through with this particular movie. I love the Laura Dern character, and I love the whole interaction between her and Princess Leia and Poe. And there's this whole thing about, you know, seasoned, thought out action taken during a crisis versus being reactive and just jumping and saying, I'm going to chop everybody's heads off. And it really plays against, in the moment of crisis, what is better, to be reactive or to be more seasoned and perhaps a little bit more patient? And so anyway, there's all these things that it plays with that I enjoyed. For one, I really liked it.
Yeah, as I'm looking at the entire list of Star Wars movies on the StarWars.com website, I mean, the one that stands out to me the most is Rogue One, because Rogue One was so enjoyable and such a complete, satisfying chapter in the universe. I would almost prefer that these three movies, this new trilogy, didn't have the old characters in them. I think that's changed our expectation of what we want to see. Otherwise, why have them in there, right? And that's what I'm talking about when I say unanswered questions. Why bring in a new generation of characters if they have nothing to do with the old ones and still keep the old ones around, when it's perfectly acceptable to do something like Rogue One, which is a spin-off story, which is actually way more satisfying to me?
Again, I think some of that may have been the weight of expectations, right? With Rogue One, you know that these aren't the characters that you know and love. It's a separate story, but it ties in intimately to the overall plot that we know, right? And movies like Rogue One have an interesting job in the sense of, we know the outcome of their mission, right?
Right.
It became about the Felicity Jones character,
yeah,
and her journey. So that's a different challenge here, right? I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have to say, like, Donald Gleeson I found very impressive as General Hux. I mean, you know, considering just watched him in Goodbye Christopher Robbins and American Made and Mother, all in 2017. Great performance, yeah, I thought, by him. And I think poor Rian Johnson, you know, he had a huge pair of shoes to fill with J.J. Abrams, and I think he did an adequate job. I guess I'm just not loving it as much as the two of you. So if I can actually wind this one up... I mean, I think if you like Star Wars, nothing we say will change your opinion. You're going to go and watch this movie regardless, and you've probably seen it 3 or 4 times. I think it's a good movie. I think I'll probably give it a solid, gosh, I think 7 feels a bit high, 6 feels stingy. I'll go for a 7 out of 10, but it's more like a 6 out. I'm going to go with a 6. I'm going to go with a 6 out of 10. Last Jedi.
Final,
6 out of 10.
Final score. Okay.
Yes, D.
Oh, a very easy 8 out of 10 for me. Actually, I would give it an 8.5, and I'm going to back down to an 8. I just loved everything about the movie. I like the direction that it's taken. It is a little unorthodox, but I was just captivated by the movie. I was never bored. I love the new characters. I mean, there's a lot of criticism of the Benicio del Toro character, because he doesn't have much to do, but I even enjoyed his piece. I mean, I think, you know, the Star Wars is so mythical at this point that any big name actor would gladly, you know, carry a glass of water for another actor on screen just to claim that, you know, they were in the movie. So people thought, oh, why would you bring him in and not have him do much? But I liked what he did. His character had a bit of an edge to him. Like I said, I really loved how the Laura Dern character played out. Another character where I wasn't sure where she stood on the moral spectrum all the way to the end. I liked it visually, and I deeply, truly find, you know, Finn, Rey, and Poe. I have a great fondness for them. They are the new generation, but they feel like my friends, and I want them to succeed, and they are stumbling, and I was just amazed. I think Adam Driver is severely underappreciated. He has the most difficult, of all the actors and all the characters, he has the most difficult road to tread, and he is superb in this movie.
Yes, he is.
And you believe him at every step that he's taking. You remember we spoke with The Force Awakens that he feels like a 12-year-old with a lot of power, and you know another actor might have not been able to carry that through, but he was able to convey it. This time around, he felt to me like a 20-year-old with a lot of power.
Yeah, that's
you know?
True.
Anyway, I think it's a splendid movie. It was deeply, deeply satisfying. An 8.5, which I'm going to bring down to an 8.
Joe.
You know, it's an easy 8 for me as well, but it's definitely not more than that. I mean, I think, again, probably like The Force Awakens, I'm going to appreciate it more on second watch because, again, anticipation has an odd effect with Star Wars movies. You wait for them, you know, they are the big soap opera of our time, right? You know, they refer to them as space operas, and it's very much the case with this movie.
The horns awaken.
Yes.
Every time Joe sums up, the horns start.
Isn't that right?
I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, it's a good 8 out of 10. I think it's, you know, it's more Star Wars, which we all want. It didn't suck, and you know, given the level of difficulty with handling something like this, you know, no doubt there is, like, you know, flaws full of writers that contribute to this type of stuff and try and interfere with the director. And Rian Johnson's been brave here. I genuinely believe that he made some creative choices that may or may not work out for some of the fans, but I think overall, he did the right thing for the franchise. It moved it in a direction that I think is full of possibilities.
Yeah, BB-8 is the star for me.
So let's wrap up the podcast, YASD. It's approaching, I'm guessing, rush hour there in Mumbai because the horns are rising.
They are getting more insistent. Yes,
lunchtime.
Yes, it's 12:30. It's lunchtime. Yes,
terrific.
As we prepare for bed.
Indeed, yeah, it's getting to 11 p.m. here in San Diego, and we have two hungry cats who are protesting about the lateness of their feeding. So, before we get eaten alive by them, I think we should wrap up the podcast. Yes, it's been terrific seeing you.
Yeah, lovely to see you. Can't wait to have you back in person.
Likewise, guys, and next time we'll have a much more quieter sound for the podcast. But it's been fun. Connecting via FaceTime.
I'm glad we got to speak about all these movies. I don't know how we've managed to not speak about Star Wars, Joe.
With difficulty, yeah. Trust me. All right, until our next podcast, it's too many movies, too little time. A goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.
Bye, Yasti.
Bye, bye, bye.